Can we hold for just a second?
I don't think we should hold at all. I think we should just have dogs woofing in the background.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out. Pay some respect to the pure authority. Don't make a flex, don't do superiority. You're just a speck, and she's got seniority. Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Hello, and welcome to Jackie Weaver Has the Authority, my new podcast where I'm joined by a weekly guest as we have the authority to answer your big, unanswered questions, like a couple of agony aunts. I spent a career in local politics running meetings and dealing with difficult questions, so this shouldn't be too different. If you haven't already, make sure you press subscribe or follow, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please do leave a star rating and a review. It makes all the difference. And sponsoring today's episode is Brixton Brewery. More about them later. Today's guest is a journalist, food critic, and owner of a fantastic head of hair. It's Jay Rayner. Jay, first of all, can I say thank you so much for agreeing to do this? It's incredibly kind of you.
How could I refuse the great Jackie Weaver anything? Anything at all?
Bless you. Now, before we start, I do just have to get the, the technicalities out of the way, if that's okay.
Yes, of course.
I need to check with you whether or not you do feel you have the authority to answer these questions with me.
I have absolutely no authority other than that bestowed upon me by you asking me. That's my authority.
And that will be enough.
Yeah, no, I think, if anybody says, why did you feel you had the right to answer the questions, I would say because Jackie Weaver asked me to answer the questions. And, if anybody's got a complaint, they can take it up with you.
Lovely answer, Jay. Thank you. I'm going to start with, I'm going to start with a food orientated one. Could we hold for just a second while
I can tell you, I don't have a dog, so that's your dog. I don't think we should hold at all. I think we should just have dogs woofing in the background. What's your dog's name?
I've got two, Rosie and Izzy.
Ah, so let me ask you a question, Jackie. If you're trying to record a podcast and you've got two dogs called Rosie and Izzy, what can you do about that?
I employ a husband who normally deals with them.
Yes.
So, right, your food question. Because I do feel you are qualified to answer this. Scones or scones, that's the first issue. And jam or cream first.
Now, this is a very interesting one, which some people get extremely aerated about. Dawn French, who now lives down in the West Country, has a particular view. But I think it's very significant that I literally can't remember which way round she thinks is important. So I tend to the view that it's cream first because it is a dairy fat, which therefore mimics butter, so cream, and then the jam. But then others argue that it should be jam and then cream. And the reality is, and I think some people listening to this might be slightly shocked by this, I really couldn't care less. I know, I can see the look of shock on your face. As far as I'm concerned, the end result is exactly the same. Really, the thing that defines it is how much of the cream you put on and whether it's the full clotted or merely something mildly whipped. And that is between the denizens of Devon and Cornwall. I have to say, if this is all that Devon and Cornwall can really get cross with each other about, then I think we're in quite a good place.
I think you're probably right on that. Me, I take it as a technical point. I just don't know how you can spread jam on a fluffy mound of cream.
Oh, you don't?
Oh.
No. You dollop. You dollop. You don't spread. You dollop.
Oh, that's very untidy.
Well, not if you have the spoon skills honed over years of dolloping. And I like to think that I've been dolloping professionally for a very, very long time. And I'll be honest, Jackie, if you're one of those people who doesn't feel that they can get the jam on first, then I don't think you're putting your back into it.
Do you have a video we could watch?
No, but I do have a PowerPoint. So it's only 47 slides. And a couple of them have WYSI graphics. So if you want to, we could do share a screen on that and see where that gets us. And probably by the time I'm done, it will be tea time. So that would work.
I have occasionally been referred to as the PowerPoint Queen. So
have you?
I think there's a meeting of the minds there.
Oh, yeah. No, I absolutely agree.
Lovely. Okay. What a strange question. David, 122.
Yeah.
So clearly there are
there's another 121 Davids before him.
That's right.
We're down the low, you know, the low, cheap end of the Davids, but go on.
If God sneezed.
Okay.
What would you say?
If God sneezed, what would I say? Well, I would be, frankly, startled if God sneezed, because I am a head-banging atheist, and the idea of a completely imaginary fictional deity having any bodily functions at all would, you know, pull me up a strip. So I would say, really? Did he? Or did you just imagine it?
Fair point.
Yeah. You're meant to give a view as well. David 122 would be most disappointed if...
I think I would just go for, I bless you.
Oh, well, I think that's
quite modest, really.
Yeah, mildly patronising, but, you know, it's God, so...
And he forgives everything, so, you know, yeah. I'm sure I'll be okay with it.
Yeah. No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine with that.
I think they must have known something about you coming on because of the number of food-related questions we've got
here. Oh, I've got another one. Go for it.
Okay, apparently DD45...
Yeah.
Wants to know a definitive answer to an age-old question. Well, I don't think this question can be that old.
Go on.
What's the best milk, skimmed, semi, or full fat?
Right. Well, I actually differentiate in this house. So I am a coffee drinker, and I'm very serious about my coffee. But that has to be with full fat milk, because otherwise the consistency of the coffee is not right. So you need full fat milk for coffee. However, on my cereal, or being impeccably middle class as I am, granola, you want something lighter. So as in all forms of cooking and food questions, it's about having the right tool for the job. You're shaking your head as though you're slightly despairing there in the Northwest.
Yeah, I am. I'm actually feeling quite anxious, Jay.
Are you?
Yes. I'm thinking if I came round to your house, it would just be like, you know, oh, don't give me anything to eat or drink because I wouldn't know about getting it right.
No. I don't force these things on other people.
Yeah, but I don't want you to judge me.
Oh, no. I do. Obviously, I judge people, but I don't force them on other people. But to be slightly more serious about it, there was a big period when we were told that dairy fats were bad fats. And there's been a lot of research since which says actually not so bad. They're not the big issue that people thought they were. Obviously, if you're a vegan and object to these things, then you'll just think I'm a scumbag and I'll have to live with that.
Well, actually, on that point, I kind of feel, you know how in life you get those wonderful little wins? They don't happen very often, but every now and then you just kind of go, yeah, got that.
Yeah.
It was when the one of our neighbours came round. We were having afternoon tea, no scones. and we asked what milk they wanted in their tea. Mm-hmm. And they said, have you got any soy?
Well, you know, this is
we
what...
did. We actually had
of course
some.
Of course you did. This is life in the demimonde of, remind me, where you are exactly?
Shropshire.
Shropshire, yeah. I mean, obviously in Shropshire, it's hot and cold running almond milk, soy milk, oat milk. I didn't know you could milk an oat until recently, but I'm, you know, relieved to hear you can. And all these variants are a useful part of modern life.
But I mean, this happened, it must have been over 10 years ago. And my husband and I still dine out on it. We are so chuffed that we were able to say, yeah, we've got that.
I mean, my immediate response to that is you probably, after all this time, need a few new anecdotes.
Yeah, but I still feel strongly about it.
I understand. The proudness of them coming round and asking for soy and you've got it without having to romp off into the soy fields of Shropshire is, you know, that is a win.
I must admit, I find, you know, kind of all this is going to sound terribly old-fashioned, but to me it was kind of new. I thought that I'd get with the programme and start to use things like coconut oil for cooking.
Yes.
It never actually occurred to me that coconut oil actually tastes of...
coconut?
Yeah. It is really not a good thing to fry an egg in.
No, it's not a good thing to fry an egg in.
But I think it should have had a warning on it. coconut oil tastes of coconut?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, yes, maybe. On the other hand, the clue was in the name.
Yeah, but they do it for nuts. May contain nuts.
Well, yes, you're right. Although they don't tell you nuts will taste of nuts.
I actually think we should contact the manufacturers about this.
Okay. Well,
So can I sign you up for that, for the petition, for better signage on flavour?
For the purposes of these moments of podcasting gold, yes, you can sign me up for that.
Yes.
Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them. Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Dear me.
Appalling behaviour.
Right. Oh, gosh, another food one. Well, it's not really a food one. Oakland on Twitter.
Oh, Oakland. Okay.
Yep. Says, why do we say cheese when a photograph is taken? And is there a better word?
Well, there are a variety of words. If you can also say prunes. Go on, say the word. Don't say it. There you go. Prune. You know, you immediately pucker up. And if you say cheese, the idea is if you say cheese, you're opening your mouth and you will involuntarily smile. That's why we say cheese. It's because it gets you, your producer right at this moment is now practicing saying cheese to see what the impact would be because he doesn't get out much.
Doesn't.
All those words are used to try and engender an expression which will be comely to the viewer of the photograph.
I knew a wedding photographer that used to say custard creams.
Was that during his working assignments or just sort of randomly in a kind of Tourette's sort of way? A kind of clean, biscuit-based Tourette's. I'd like to make it clear that Tourette's is a serious condition. I'm not mocking it.
Well, invariably people would smile when he said custard creams.
Well, there you go.
You know? So I think that is a viable alternative.
Never shout clowns. People get very scared. That's not a good thing to shout at a wedding. They suddenly think there's a troop of marauding clowns coming riding over the lawns and everybody's terrified because clowns aren't funny. They're just scary. I am also, and this may startle you given your rural location in Shropshire, I have a real problem with Morris dancers.
In the garden or just...
anywhere. I find them... I mean, I will... You know, I do underpin this with a bit of... sort of ethnic paranoia because it's sort of folk and nationalist dancing. I did once write in a piece, I can't pretend it, whenever I see a troupe of Morris dancers, I fear a pogrom can't be far behind. And this upset the Morris dancing fraternity hugely because they thought it was a calumny. But I continue to hold that overt nationalist sort of dancing folk lore routines are terrifying. I put them in the same category as clowns.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wouldn't expect you to comment on that because, you know, dissing Morris dancers when you live in Shropshire is just not the way to go.
Oh, Gareth from Perth.
Yeah.
Fish are wet when you take them out of water.
Yeah.
Are they wet when they're in the water?
I have... It is part of the past year that one has sat at the dining table with one's family repeatedly, night after night. And the wetness of water has been a subject of conversation between myself and my now 17-year-old son and what things constitute as wet. And his point of view, and I'm going to defer to my 17-year-old Dan, and his point of view is that anything which is covered in water is therefore wet. So the fact that the fish is in the water makes it wet.
I know.
It's just in more water than it was when you took it out onto the side. So you've suddenly gone into a thousand-yard stare, Jackie Weaver, as though you're trying to dig your way through the depths of the thinking. And a serious amount of thinking has gone into this. So let us also deal very simply in a mind thought experiment with the alternative answer, which is to say, no, the fish is dry. So, how could the fish in the water be dry? And I think we both agree that it couldn't be. It's definitely wet because it's in the water. So I think we've sorted that one, and you haven't tried to argue with me. So I feel like I've won.
I'm still going through the Schrödinger's cat loop in my head at the moment.
Well, I mean, if your hand went into the water to touch the fish, If you could, you know, if you had, let's say you were a trout tickler of great, you know, I believe that's still a major skill in certain parts of Shropshire. That
it's certainly not an offence.
Yeah, it's not an offence, no. as long as the trout's enjoying it. That you would find that the trout was as wet as your own arm was.
But then would it feel wet to me?
Yes, it would, because everything would feel wet.
Okay, I'm going to go along with this, Jay, but it's really because you have reassured me.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be of use.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council.
Now, before we return to Jay, I wanted to say a quick something about our fantastic new sponsor, Brixton Brewery. Brixton Brewery specialise in bold, modern and easy drinking beers inspired by the vibrant South London neighbourhood they call home. Like their Cold Harbour Lager, which is a bold and refreshing tribute to Cold Harbour Lane, just round the corner from the brewery. I am delighted to say that they are offering listeners of this podcast 10% off their next order. Head to brixtonbrewery.com and use the code CALLMEBRITNEY, all one word. That's CALLMEBRITNEY for 10% off your next order. They deliver nationwide too. So, get a taste of Brixton. On with the show. Charlie Proctor, Royal Correspondent. How do you pronounce bagel?
There are two pronunciations.
Apparently.
Yeah, there are two pronunciations. But frankly, this is dependent on what your background is. So anybody who's non-Jewish and calls it a bagel, that's absolutely fine. That is a reasonable pronunciation. If you have any East London Jewish heritage, you're likely to call it a beigel, B-E-I-G-E-L. But it's reaching back into a piece of cultural history that is, you know, it's not exactly withering on the vine. There will still be a lot of old Jews who will say beigel rather than bagel. And it's also a bit of a conscious thing, actually, on that particular group who says it that way, because they're defining themselves as being specifically from that culture. Not unreasonably, because a lot of things that are sold as bagels or beigels, it's the same thing, aren't really. There's a very specific way to make a bagel. It obviously has a particular dough recipe. It has to be boiled first before being baked, and it has to have a dense, chewy texture. And a lot of things which are called bagels or beigels are simply round ring breads, and that's simply not good enough. And if I was, in charge, there would be custodial sentences for this, which is probably why I'm not.
I mean, I suppose I'm kind of looking at the adverts on the telly, which is where I get most of my factual information from.
Okay, yeah. I can imagine from Shropshire that would be part of the story.
And it's where they kind of slice a well-known brand of bagel in half and put filling in the centre. And then
you're on a podcast, like, you can call it Warburton's.
Okay, Warburton's. And bite it. And I'm thinking, I can just about manage to cut one in half, mm-hmm. and stick it in the toaster.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, eat it half at a time. But the idea of having it not toasted and, like, biting into it, I don't think my jaw is strong enough, never mind my teeth.
Then they're not for you.
Is that what they're really like, though, proper ones?
Well, proper ones actually should be, they tend to be smaller than the ones made by the big manufacturers.
Our local, not to Shropshire, I'm afraid it is Staffordshire, delicacy is oat cakes.
Well, yes. Now, I know a lot about this Staffordshire oat cake.
They are pretty good.
But so people think about oat cakes, they tend to think, I mean, I'm telling you what you already know, but for people who are listening and don't know, you think of a crumbly biscuit type oat cake of the Scottish variety, whereas a Staffordshire oat cake is much more like a pancake and is used as a vehicle to fill with, well, the classic, they were a breakfast item sold out of windows and terraced houses in Stoke and whatever, to the people working in the potteries.
They really are splendid, although they're not dissimilar to what you get on the bottom of the pan if you overcook your porridge.
No, exactly. Exactly. Well, that's what they are. But again, these are a way of extending the life and use of certain ingredients, which are costly, and using them in the most efficient way possible.
Yeah, but no, they are definitely good ones. I think we are just one more.
Well, I have to say, you haven't asked me the one which I thought you were going to ask me and which I've actually researched. Only because you, on social media, said a question would be upcoming, which you might be holding for somebody else, but I might force you to ask me. Shall I tell you what it is?
Go for it.
Is a Jaffa cake a cake or a biscuit? Has this already been put to somebody else?
No.
Well, you see, you proposed this in social media, and I thought, well, the least I could do is research the answer to this question.
And what was the result of your research, Jake?
Right. So the way of telling the difference between it, do you know the way of telling the difference between a cake and a biscuit?
No.
Right. It's what happens to them when they go stale. So a biscuit, which is crisp,
goes soft.
And a cake, which starts soft, should go hard. It's about what happens to the moisture exchange. The problem is that there is not a single instance in recorded history of a packet of Jaffa cakes being opened and then not completely eaten within a short period of time. So nobody has ever managed to locate the truth of the cake-biscuit dichotomy through the medium of the Jaffa cake itself. However, and as a woman who likes, a bit of case law, as I know you do, you'll like this. In 1991, McVitie's took the Inland Revenue to court. And here's why. Certain foods which are considered essentials are unvatted. If a food is an essential, it's non-vatted. If a food is a luxury, it is vatted. And I think it says an awful lot about the British sensibility that biscuits have long been considered a luxury, but cake, and this probably goes back a very long way to things like the Second World War, is an essential because it's a much greater vehicle for the delivery of calories. So cake is non-vatted, whereas biscuits are vatted. And it was therefore in the interests of McVitie's to prove that Jaffa cakes were cakes because then the VAT be taken off. And in 1991, they won their case by proving, I suspect through the medium of the aging process, that Jaffa cakes were indeed cakes. And even though you didn't put that question to me, I'm delighted to have sorted that with you.
And I will buy a packet and
think of me.
And I might even send them because I don't know why they put poxy plain chocolate on them.
What are you hoping for?
Milk chocolate.
Oh, I see. Okay. A woman who is dissatisfied with the constituents of a Jaffa cake is dissatisfied with life.
Just stay open to the idea that they might be improved by milk chocolate.
I mean, look, what happens if you start with that kind of, malarkey, a little way along the line, someone comes up with a white chocolate Jaffa cake, and then what do we do? That's the end of civilization, frankly.
You've got a point there.
Yeah, and you, what you're proposing is the slippery slope from the pristine dark chocolate Jaffa cake, which does not need improving, all the way to the destruction of all that we hold dear.
Okay. But only because it's the possible first step of a... Yeah, okay.
Happy to help.
For that. Okay. Right, one more question, and then thank you for your time. And don't forget, we have got this campaign that we've got to,
Okay. For the purposes of this record, yes. I can't even remember what it's about, but anyway, go on.
I thought it was dear to you. Charlotte 88 wants to know if showers are better than baths and if you think baths are just a bit gross.
No, I love a bath. In fact, I'll tell you, I'll level with you because I've been public about it. I am 9 days past a total hip replacement.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I am. And I am gagging for a bath. I would love a bath. I'm allowed showers at the moment. That's fine. Yeah. And I like a shower and I've got a very nice... walk-in wet room thing. So that's great. And I am clean. If you were in the same room with me, you wouldn't have to sit downwind or whatever. But, or is it upwind? I never know. But there is nothing to beat the first 6 minutes of a bath. I mean, after that, you're just fighting with yourself to see how long you can stay in. But the first 6 minutes of a bath are bliss. And I have been robbed of that bliss for a good couple of weeks now. And I am waiting for the moment that the wound has healed. And more to the point, I am capable of getting myself out of the bloody bath by myself, because I'm not a big fan of indignity. So standing up in the shower is for me. So, Charlotte, really, you can take your sneering about the bath and stick it where the sun don't shine. They are a glorious, glorious thing. And anybody who doesn't like them needs to have a long, hard think about themselves.
Not a fan.
Really?
All that trouble, all that water, get in, 10 seconds later, what are we doing now?
Well, don't have a bath then. Leave them for me. Leave these things for people who, you know, leave me the Jaffa cakes, leave me the baths, leave me the right kind of milk. This is all. Leave me the bagels. I'll have the nice life. And you can sit there going, I don't hold with that.
I look forward to that. Seriously, though, how was your hip operation?
Oh, well, I've been to more entertaining shows. Sure. It is a ceramic hip, which means, as I have announced already, that I am part man, part crockery, which is quite a good look for a restaurant critic.
Lovely, Jay. Before you go, can I just ask you a kind of question, kind of a bit more personal? You know that I've got a podcast, but I understand that you have one too.
Indeed, I have a podcast called Out to Lunch, in which I take fabulous people out to eat. It's a very simple idea, actually. And at first, when it was first put to me, I thought it was almost too simple, which is, you know, have lunch and talk. In non-COVID times, that's in restaurants, and we're just about to return to those. During the pandemic, it's been via lockdown and takeaways. But the same thing applies, which is that when you put food in front of people, they do relax. After a few minutes, they forget there are microphones. And as long as I've done my research and know how to direct a conversation, you get some very interesting conversations with people. So we've had everybody from Richard E. Grant and Stanley Tucci, had a Spice Girl. Mel C came on, Tracy Ullman. I'm quite proud of my lineup. Richard Coles, bad to have Damian Lewis. So it's a mixture of actors and writers, comedians, anybody I think has got a good story to tell.
And do you choose the menu?
I tend to check what their dietary requirements are. So you can imagine with some of these actor types, oh God, you know, I only eat something I plucked myself from the bulging trees. But generally, you know, I say, is there anything you like, dislike? Some of them say, just surprise me. Some of them are very specific. So, yeah, Out to Lunch, available wherever you get your podcasts, and good luck with yours.
Thank you. And look out for the post. Jaffa Cakes are coming your way.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind.
Jake, thank you so much for taking time to have this meaningful conversation.
It was very meaningful for me too. And I think we've settled some important issues. And put the world to rights.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
Thank you to Jay for joining me, and thank you to you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you don't miss an episode. And if you feel so inclined, please rate and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. You can also support the show on Patreon for as little as £3 a month. There's bonus bits, ad-free episodes, watch podcasts being recorded, get a shout-out, Zoom hangouts, and more. 10% of every donation goes to the anti-bullying programme to help tackle bullying. Thanks to all my patrons, in particular Helen Rounce, Rebecca Ducknell, Connor Farley, Judith Elliott, and Moira Turner. If you'd like to help support the show on Patreon, there's a link in the notes of this episode, or head to patreon.com/ Jackie Weaver Has the Authority. That's patreon.com/ Jackie Weaver Has the Authority. Thank you for listening, and see you soon.
She's kicked him out.
Jackie Weaver Has the Authority.
Your time is up. Subscribe. subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you.